There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live.
Hey, y'all, welcome back. No, we're not quite ready to kick it off, but it is talking season.
Talking season, that's what we're all doing right now, talking a little bit.
We'll talk about who's back, who's not, and who's next. We'll talk about the road to the SEC championship. Can anyone stop Bama and the Dogs? We'll talk about who's in, who should hoist the Heisman, who's going bowling. We'll talk about the quarterbacks who will lead their teams, the defensive stars who will try to stop them. We'll talk about the 14 coaches coming back. That's right, not a single head coaching change in the SEC for the first time since 2006. Don't worry, it ain't all talk. We're going to have some fun, too.
I had a new pair of custom-made Jordans that I was going to wear up here, but that was already done.
I believe in the coaches, I believe in LSU, and I believe in our players.
So, welcome back to the unofficial start of football season. SEC Media Days.
Well, thank you, Ryan McGee, for that welcome back. And I just want to remind everybody, we are 40 days away from College Football. Radio Row here in Hoover at SEC Media Days is where the action happens. Also inside at the podium. That was earlier today, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey speaking to the media and trying to crack a few jokes. I thought some of them were funny. What's up, everybody? Laura Rutledge, Marcus Spears, Greg McElroy here.
Oh, I look uptight.
Can you loosen? Here we go. Give him a massage.
First show of the year. You'll be all right.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. This is the first College Football Live of the year, which the only reason why I bring that up is because somebody let us do it for one. And number two, that means we actually can officially talk about college football, which is the best thing in the world. On that note, we're going to talk about Alabama. They're actually not in Hoover until Wednesday. So today we're seeing Florida, Missouri, and LSU. More on them coming up later in the show, as well as Big 12 Media Days, which we'll take a little visit to. But the note that Alabama left on last year, Greg, obviously, something that they would like to forget and have tried to already move past. Was that more about a bad loss, or is it a bad omen for what we'll see in college football this year? Maybe even saying that some other teams have caught up to them.
Well, there's no spinning it into a positive. You don't lose by four touchdowns. So, we just didn't have our A game today. It doesn't work that way. But we've seen this narrative before with Alabama. We've seen people try to bury the dynasty, if you will. Same thing happened after the 2014 season when they lost to Ohio State, and they lost convincingly to the Buckeyes that day. The entire conversation in 2015, the spring and the summer months, were, well, Bama, we've seen their best, and clearly the best is in the rearview mirror. Well, not so fast, my friend, to use Lee Corso's terminology. They went on to win the national championship in 2015. Same thing can be said after the 16 season when they lost to Deshaun Watson on that remarkable 2-minute drive to win the national championship. What'd they do in 17? They bounced right back, won the national championship yet again. So we have seen this program be in a position to basically say the dynasty is done, and they always seem to find a way to bounce back. And I'd be surprised if they didn't bounce back and play really good football this upcoming season.
And to your point, man, don't discredit what the other teams have done. I think a lot of people get lost because we've become so enamored with the success that Alabama has had, and we always made it a one-horse race. But Clemson and Dabo and what they've done, they built this program up to this point to be able to compete. And last year, I feel like, was one of those years where it's an anomaly. You play this game 10 times, it'll be close 9 of them, right? Other than that outlier that happened in the national championship. But also, you look at Georgia in this conference. They also are another team that has built. It takes a while. We've just grown so accustomed to Alabama repeatedly being who we always think they should be, that when we see something like that from Clemson, we kind of take that away from them and say Alabama had a bad day. No, Clemson had a great day.
Great day.
Yeah, and they may have more great days going forward in college football this year. You mentioned Georgia, and if you look at the SEC as a whole, if I had to nail you down right now, Greg, Bama or the field to win the SEC?
Well, over the next 4 days, we're going to see 9 quarterbacks. We're going to see more offensive skill than we've ever seen at SEC Media Days because this league has changed from the old ground and pound, man, we're going to beat you up in the trenches, to becoming kind of an explosive field of offenses. And that's why I still would take Alabama against the field today, because I look at the personnel they bring back at quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa, he only finished second in the Heisman, and he brings back 3 incredible wide receivers on the outside. It's the most explosive offense returning in the SEC. And in a league that has really changed and adapted to the times, plus the schedule that they have sitting in front of them, Alabama, I think, still has the inside track heading into the year.
I'm going the field, and I'm taking Georgia.
Let's go.
We talked about it last year. I know both of you all remember. When Alabama got to Georgia, that was the first formidable team that we felt like they had played outside of LSU when they were able to beat LSU in Death Valley. And they struggled mightily. Jalen Hurts had to come in and save the day. With that being said, Georgia mindset has to be finished. They've had that, let's just be honest, they've had Alabama beaten 2 years in this same exact situation, national championship and the SEC championship. Their whole motto should be finished. What Sam Pittman is doing up front, that's the first way you level the playing field against Alabama, offensive line and defensive line. Georgia's successful at that. Kirby knows what he's doing. And look, as much as we love Tua and what he did, let's – like, Jake Fromm got it. We got to start talking about Jake Fromm as one of those guys as well, man.
Earlier on today, Marcus already said that Jake Fromm could win the Heisman. You said Jerry Jeudy, Travis Etienne. So we're just...
There's going to be 6 Heismans given out this year.
It's talking season. We're handing out Heisman trophies. Guys, Vegas does not seem to have concerns about the Crimson Tide. They have Alabama as a slight favorite over Clemson to win the national championship. It's interesting with what Vegas looks at. They're probably playing that mindset of Alabama with the chip on their shoulder. Hard to imagine a Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, though, not being right there in the mix as we imagine they will be.
Storyline if Jalen Hurts ends up playing Alabama in the national championship. Would that be
Yeah. Calm down. We are really excited, if you can't tell, as we can finally talk about college football. Let's look at Florida and LSU, because we will hear from both Coach O and Dan Mullen actually momentarily, also at the podium here today. But looking at them in 2018, both teams 10-3, both posted 5-3 records in conference. They were also tied for second in their respective divisions and were SEC co-leaders in turnover margin. Those two teams with big expectations heading into next year, and we caught up with Coach O and Dan Mullen. We start with Dan talking about just that. How much pressure is on this team? Florida head coach Dan Mullen here. And Coach, it's so funny because everybody keeps talking about, hey, look, you know, we're past the honeymoon season with Dan Mullen because he's already had the first year as the Florida head coach and you've exceeded expectations and all of that. All that talk out there, how do you feel about that with the expectations that are set almost by exceeding what you did last year?
You know, I think the one thing is I put such high expectations on myself and our program of what, you know, what we want to do. I came to Florida to win championships and build and have a program that's going to compete for championships, not just every once in a while, but consistently every single season. So I don't know that we exceeded expectations in our mind last year, but I think a lot of people thought we did. And so maybe that's put more pressure on us. Are we at that point? I don't know. We have to see as this season goes. I think we have a lot of talented guys coming back. And we have enough talent where we could go compete for a championship. I think one big thing for me that I guess on the outside people don't see is that the difference between having the talent to go potentially win and the depth to go compete for championships on a regular basis. And that's one of the things we're trying to build is that depth right now to not just have the talent, but the depth to go with it to go compete for a championship.
LSU head coach Ed Orgeron joining us here. And coach, first of all, I want to ask you, with the storm, everything going on in your great state, everybody okay? Obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody.
Yeah, thanks for asking. Everybody's fine, just a little rain, a little flooding, but we're very resilient in Louisiana, and we're going to be fine.
that you are. A resilient state, a resilient football team, a resilient program. So many of those things, I think, go quite well together when you think about all of it. When you come into this year, a lot of the talk is around the offense. So let's start there. You bring in Joe Brady. Yeah. He's your passing coordinator. He's this young hotshot guy coming over from the NFL. Yeah. Just first of all, what are your expectations from him and what he brings to the table?
Score a lot of points. We're going to play a spread offense. We have great athletes. Him and Steve Ensminger, offensive coordinator, work phenomenal together. We're very strong in the wide receiver position. Got two great young backs. Got a great quarterback coming back. We have a solid offensive line. I think we're going to have a very good offense this year.
Tell me about the shoes, because we can't get you out of here without showing these shoes off. They're pretty snazzy.
Well, you know what? I mean, the custom-made Jordan 11s, the retros here, it was something I started, I guess, at SEC Media Days a long time ago.
This is your thing, Coach.
And you know what? I mean, you're here and you're walking around and you have all these different events. And I see your shoe game.
Yeah, my shoe game is not nearly
as good as yours. Which is fantastic.
No. Huh? That's not cool. I need size. I'll take
but
a size.
You
seven
get to
and
sit
and
here and relax.
That's
see,
true.
Mine,
you gotta be comfy.
I'm walking and moving. So I've tried to make it a real fashionable thing.
Okay, so now we can confirm officially that Coach Dan Mullen started the sneakers with suits trends. Great stuff, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, so Greg McElroy has Coach Mullen to thank as his fashion icon.
Yes.
Florida's 2019 schedule is bookended by matchups with in-state rivals Miami and Florida State. Key SEC games in between include home games versus Tennessee and Auburn, a road trip to LSU, their annual clash, of course, with Georgia and Jacksonville, which Coach Mullen talked about today and will continue to talk about a lot. There's been a little bit of back and forth between Florida and Georgia, even in this offseason, which is only what we would expect. If you had to take these two teams, Greg, LSU and Florida, the greater expectations for you in 2019 at the end of the day, which team do you choose?
I would lean towards LSU because last year they arrived a little early. I mean, they had so much youth on that defense. And yeah, are they going to miss Devin White at middle linebacker? No doubt. But I feel like you can overcome the absence of a great middle linebacker if the other 10 guys on defense elevate their play. And they bring in some talented freshmen, one in particular, a corner named Derek Stingley, that's going to be an absolute machine. So maybe the best secondary in all of college football. And like what Coach O just talked about, they're going to score some points, man. On offense, the offensive line, a little bit of a liability last year. So what do? They go out and they hire Joe Brady, a new offensive mind, to kind of overlook that passing game. They're going to go a little bit more spread, a few more RPOs, and look a little bit more like some of the new age offenses that we've seen had success throughout college football over the last few years. So I actually really like what LSU has coming back. It's just about getting over that Bama hump, which they've struggled to do in the last few years.
Well, I mean, for the sake of not taking LSU twice, I had to go Florida in that expectation. And it's funny when you look at the dynamic, because we basically talking about the team that's going to challenge Georgia in the East and the team that's going to challenge Alabama in the West. I have very high expectations for Florida. And it's because of Dan Mullen and his ability to get teams to play even above the level where they really are. You remember sitting there a few years ago in Mississippi State and they were number one in the country, right? And he's tried to instill that mentality in his football team, talked about Felipe Franks playing better as the season went along, learning what they were doing. And let me tell y'all something right now. If you worried about this defense, don't be. Because Todd Grantham is going to throw the kitchen sink at teams. And he's proven that he can give a lot of these offenses problems that we mentioned in the SEC. So I'm looking forward to seeing Florida. They went from 4-10 wins, and we'll see what they step on this year with their progress.
It was huge for Florida to hold on to Todd Grantham, who did flirt a little bit with the NFL there, but they end up keeping him around. More to come from us on College Football Live from Hoover. And we're going to talk transfer quarterbacks. Kelly Bryant making his way to his very first SEC Media Days. It worked well for one Kyler Murray, who you just saw there. We'll talk about Oklahoma as well as Missouri and much more when we come back. And Jalen Hurts, of course, in that mix too. Now make sure you're a fan of ACC Network. It's coming August 22nd. Get accnetwork.com to check the availability there. And if you don't see your provider listed, demand they carry ACC Network. We'll be right back.
It's so rare you lose a player the caliber of Deshaun Watson, and there's virtually no drop-off.
It's been the Kelly Bryant show. Spins off the tackle, stays on his feet, touchdown!
That's how good Kelly Bryant's been.
Kelly Bryant. He is transferring. Started the last 18 games for Clemson, winning 16 of those starts.
Kelly Bryant heading to Missouri. He'll be eligible to play in 2019.
He brings respect. He's won a lot of games at Clemson.
Bryant takes a shotgun snap, going to run it himself. Dives to the end zone. Touchdown.
The wooing of Kelly Bryant, Barry Odom, and Derek Dooley got their man.
Oh! That's me.
Clearly, Missouri has been working their way in this direction.
Hey, nah, man. Hey, I'm trying to make E for y'all, baby.
Missouri quarterback Kelly Bryant joining us. And I got to say, you had a whole trail of cameras following you around here. This is your first SEC Media Days experience.
Right.
You've been to other Media Days, but what has it been like so far being here with all the lights, camera action all over you?
It's been different. I can say it's... The lights here are very bright.
You were somebody that any school wanted in the entire country in college football. Why was Missouri the right choice for you?
For me, I had one year left, eligibility left. So the biggest thing I said, you got to get this right. This is not one thing where, okay, you'll have 2 or 3 years, left, if you don't get it right. And so, okay, I looked at Drew last year in the season that he had in the growth and development, where he got himself at, second round. I was like, okay, why wouldn't I go try to see if I can go do the same thing?
A lot of quarterbacks donning new uniforms this season. Perhaps the highest profile quarterback to transfer is Jalen Hurts, who moves from Tuscaloosa to Norman. Former Clemson star we just saw there, Kelly Bryant, he's now at Missouri. And former Georgia quarterback Justin Fields and Jacob Eason, now at Ohio State and Washington, respectively. We welcome you back to College Football Live here, coming your way from Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days Day 1. We'll be here tomorrow and the next day as well. And I think the day after that, because this thing goes for 4 days. Greg and Marcus here. And when you see these notable transfer quarterbacks, this is the world that we live in now in college football. But I want to start with you, Marcus, for your transfer quarterback who's going to have the biggest impact in 2019.
It's Kelly Bryant. I mean, his opportunity, the way things transpired for him at Clemson, he came behind a guy that was just a generational talent. Usually you don't get a first-round draft pick as a freshman, right, to come in and have the nerve that Trevor Lawrence had to lead this Clemson's offense. But Kelly Bryant was no slouch. 16-2, ended up playing in the semifinal of the college football playoff. A big physical guy. He looks really good in his pads, runs downhill. He brings some things to the table that, quite frankly, Barry Odom and Derek Dooley didn't think they would have after Drew Locke left. So I'm looking forward to what he does in this offense, especially with the talent that's around him as well. We can't fail to mention that.
No, I really like him a lot. I'm really excited to see what kind of growth he displays this year. But I'm going to go Justin Fields because I think about this Ohio State offense and really more Urban Meyer's offense and now Ryan Day's offense all are going to be relatively similar. I've seen guys with average skill sets put up record-breaking numbers in that offense. Well, this guy doesn't have an average skill set. This guy can flat out play. Now, there are some aspects of Justin Fields' games that he does need to tighten up. A little late on some of his throws. Didn't anticipate as well. Not quite as accurate as you'd like to see, but all those things are expected as a true freshman. Now he's had an entire offseason of work as the starting quarterback, working with those wide receivers, a talented group of wide receivers, I might add, and a really good running game to support him as well. So I'm really, really excited to see what Justin Fields can do with Ryan Day.
He's also... You mentioned it, Ryan Day right there. I think Ryan Day's work with quarterbacks can't be discounted. I'm excited to see him too. Okay, Big 12 Media Days going on as well right now, and might have been sending a little message here. Look at this. This was up on the board there as they entered Big 12 Media Days. Our champion is determined by who we play, not by who we don't. So any quick comment on that as we carry on here? Okay, no, that was all we're going to say.
It's talking season.
It's talking season. It's the best. Well, Kyler Murray showed a lot with his play. Of course, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. What he did last season was remarkable. He's actually now going to report to Arizona Cardinals camp on Wednesday as he headed on to become the first pick in the draft. Here's Lincoln Riley at Big 12 Media Days.
We don't plan on the offense dipping. And then the second part of that, we definitely expect our defense to be better. I don't think there's any doubt. That's why we've recruited as hard as we have. That's why we made some of the changes on the coaching staff that we've made. And, as we feel like there's going to be positive results behind that. And what we've been able to see behind the scenes up to this point, you know, get you encouraged and excited that both those things will happen. So the expectations are very high on both sides of the ball, and we feel like we've got the right people in place to meet those expectations.
Another thing that Lincoln Riley said is that Jalen Hurts still hasn't quite earned the job as the starting quarterback. And forgive me if I'm not wording that exactly correctly, but I do think some of that could be coach speak. And it's also, to be fair, I love your face right now. Stank face on that. So let's just move on from that, because we all assume that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback and we're excited to see what he does. Can Oklahoma win a national championship, Greg, with their current system in place? Obviously, they've been in the playoff. They've done that. That's good. But how about being a great team winning the championship?
Well, how close were they in 2017 in the Rose Bowl? I mean, it went to overtime, right? I mean, they were right there. And I look at that offense and just how prolific it was being led by Baker Mayfield. Now, I'm not assuming that Jalen Hurts is going to step right in and lead Lincoln Riley's offense the exact same way that Baker Mayfield did. But I feel like with that formula, if they would have played against Alabama, who was stagnant in that first half in the national championship game, a team with that much explosiveness and firepower offensively would have been a lot more difficult to catch. So, yeah, I think they can win a national championship.
Yeah, but they didn't. And no, because they haven't proven they can, period. Like, we've seen this team, and we talk about it every year. Can they play enough defense? The problem for Oklahoma is this. It's not that they can't score points. Everybody knows how prolific this offense is. But if they score 50, they give up 55. That's their MO. So until they can stop somebody in critical situations, they won't be able to win a national championship.
I do think their defense will be improved.
Defensive
coordinator Alex Grinch coming into the
fold.
That's
the only thing missing.
More to come from these guys here in Hoover. But also, we'll have the NBA Summer League Championship game from Vegas tonight right here on ESPN2. Grizzlies Timberwolves, that's at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. It's also streaming live on the ESPN app, so you can watch that from anywhere. We'll be back in a moment. We're back on College Football Live, and here's a little SEC news for you. Forbes recently published a list of the schools that spend the most on student-athlete meals. You see Arkansas, $3.5 million up there at the top. Tennessee down there in the top 10. A&M up there. I mean, all I got to say is we need to go to Arkansas and eat. Made me hungry.
I'm telling you.
Why do food cost so much?
I'm trying to figure out what they're eating.
What are they eating?
Seriously, three and
they
a half?
They are the hogs, but I don't know if that's...
They eating
either
that...
way.
They eating that wagyu.
Either way, you guys spent too much time talking, so now we have to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Peace. Georgia, Texas A&M will be headlining tomorrow. We'll see you then.